or my take at takeaway.org. Daljit?
Thanks very much, John. And we're going to be talking about Switcheroo a little later on in the program. But we want to bring you up to date with another story that we're following. The Supreme Court is going to hear a case today that goes right to the heart of an article in the Voting Rights Act. This landmark piece of legislation was put in place during the civil rights era to protect minority voters. And since then, it has wide support. Here's former President Ronald Reagan signing a 25-year extension in 1982.
The right to vote is the crown jewel of American liberties, and we will not see its luster diminished. The legislation that I'm signing is the longest extension of the Act since its enactment and demonstrates America's commitment to preserving this essential right.
But times have changed. We have an African-American president, so do minorities still need these special safeguards? A small district in Texas says no, and they've taken their case to the Supreme Court. To weigh in on this is Ted Shaw in Washington, D.C. He's a law professor at Columbia and counsel for the law firm Fulbright and Jaworski. Good morning to you, Ted.
Good morning.
So what is the story here? Why is this tiny district in Texas all up in arms?
Well, this is a municipal utility district, as it's called. The acronym is MUD. And it's a district that didn't exist when the Voting Rights Act was originally put in place. And it challenges the extension of a key part of the Voting Rights Act, Section 5, that requires jurisdictions that have a history of discrimination to pre-clear any changes in electoral procedures with the Justice Department or the federal court in Washington, D.C. So essentially what it's saying is that, this is an intrusion. We are a district that didn't have any history, but the reality is that it's part of a larger county, Travis County, that in fact does have a history, and Travis County itself has indicated in this case that it doesn't mind being covered by the Voting Rights Act. It understands that it's covered.
But this particular district wanted to change the location of a polling place from a garage of a board member to a school, and they were told that they needed federal approval. They then got that. And then they decided to challenge the Voting Rights Act, at least Article 5 of it. Let's take a listen to what the president of the district bringing this case had to say.
This district has no history of discrimination, of trying to limit voting rights. The time for this regulation, perhaps as it affects this district, has passed. Perhaps there was a time in the state of Texas when there were voting concerns, but certainly not in Austin, Texas, and not in 2009.
Well, what's your reaction to that, Ted? I mean, Texas and other southern states might have once deserved to be under federal supervision, but isn't it time to retire this provision? The nation's, after all, is under new management.
Well, Congress looked at the conditions in electoral politics around the country prior to reenacting Section 5 of the Voting Rights Act a couple of years ago. And it made a determination that there are problems that still exist sufficiently at a level to require Section 5's continuation for another period of time. It looked at studies. It looked at the fact that there's still racially polarized voting. It looked at the fact that there's a history of procedures that have been used to disenfranchise minority voters in various jurisdictions, not in 1965 or 1970, but now, today. And so there's still a problem that needs to be addressed. The fact that we have the first African-American president represents a milestone. It's a profoundly important moment.
Is it just symbolic in your eyes?
Oh, no. It's more than symbolic. It's real, and it signals that the country has progressed and that the Voting Rights Act has been successful, but it doesn't mean that all of the problems that Congress found don't exist. Just like on the morning after President Obama was inaugurated, it didn't mean that all of the racial inequality in this country that still plagues us and lingers in spite of all the tremendous progress has gone away.
So how do you think it's actually going to turn out? I mean, and if the justices, let's assume they strike the article down, what will it mean for us as a nation?
Well, if the Supreme Court strikes down the reenacted Voting Rights Act, what it means is that it has said that that Congress doesn't have the authority under the 14th Amendment, it's actually Section 5 of the 14th Amendment, to pass legislation that is this broad. It could go back to Congress, and Congress can reenact Section 5 with some kind of narrower scope or application. So that's one of the possibilities. It doesn't have to simply do nothing.
But do you ever foresee a time when it may just come to an end very briefly?
Oh, yes. I mean, the Voting Rights Act is not perpetual. Congress makes the finding that these problems have sufficiently disappeared, the Act's provisions will no longer be necessary.
All right, Ted Shaw, we've got to leave it there. Ted Shaw in Washington, D.C., professor of law at Columbia and counsel for the law firm Fulbright and Jaworski. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
A lot at stake there.
It certainly is, yeah.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.